Awesome.
Well, it's great to be here. Came here around this time last year. We were expecting our little Judah to arrive, and it's just great to be back. So thank you, Sean and Steph, for giving me the opportunity to share. I only found out last night that I was preaching this morning. And so God bless you, Sean, for giving me all that. But it truly is an honour to get to share God's word. We were just in Virginia Beach. We at a conference with great friends of ours, Steve and Sharon Kelly, and so we feel full, ready to bring something. Anyone ready to receive?
Yeah.
Well, we don't come to church just through habit, do we? We come to church to receive, to worship, to gather together, and really, leave encouraged. So my prayer today, if you've come in new, that you're going to leave as family. And if you came in discouraged, you're going to leave encouraged. If you came in hurt, you're going to leave healed. If you've come in with a sense I need some clarity, you're going to get that clarity. I think church is the place where you come to receive something. Does anyone believe that today?
Amen.
And we are trusting that's what's going to be the case. So we're going to get into the word today. I tell you what, it was a lot of fun yesterday, the Pumpkin Fest. Hey, who loves pumpkin to eat? I'm not a pumpkin fan. I've never been one to eat pumpkin. In fact, I think when the devil tempted Eve, it was a pumpkin. I really do. I call it the devil's food. But it was a great event, seeing what you do in the community and just the connections that come from it. It's really cool. So if you're here today and you're brand new and you're thinking, is this church? Yes, this is church. It's life-giving, we're family, and it's all over the world. And you know, I don't know what the media is like here, but the media in the UK would say the church is dying in some ways. It couldn't be further from the truth. Right around the globe, there's enormous moves of God with the church. Maybe there are some levels of church that has kind of dissipated, but life-giving churches are popping up all over the globe. And right now in the United Kingdom, I'm sure it's happening here, we do have secular media talking about what they call as the silent revival. And big, big articles of Gen Z coming to church. And the increase, I think the stats were something like 7% of that age group were going to church. Now it's something around the realm of 25% of this demographic are now starting to flood churches. How many know God's on the move in the midst of darkness also multiplying at the same time? But isn't that the genius of God? And that's what the Apostle Paul said, I think, in the book of Romans, where he said God allows darkness to appear so more light can come. And he says, oh, but the wisdom of God. And so maybe you're in a dark season, maybe you're in a challenging season. Well, in that season, you can be sure that God is going to bring about something good in your life. And I just want to talk a little bit about God will do it. God is faithful to bring about what he said he would bring about. The things that are in your heart, the things that you are believing for, he's going to bring it to pass. And I'm going to bring something of the word today to encourage you in that. So I don't know if you take notes, but I would encourage you to write this question down. What is my dream? Is it a God dream, or is it just something I've come up with? And sometimes you've got to work out whether it's God or whether it's just yourself. But God isn't just interested in you sort of marking time, hoping that you're going to just wait out the rest of your life. But he's got a great purpose for your life. There is a plan, there is a mission, there is a destiny that God has for you. And it's not just about you, it's really about him and about what he wants to bring in this life through your life. And what a privilege God gets to, or not God gets to, we get to be recipients of God's plan, and we begin to work that thing out. Does anyone believe that today? That you are a vessel, a child of God who God wants to work through. One of the things I love in our church, and I'm sure you do it here as well, we have this thing called praise reports. And we ask people to write down what is your praise report for the week, and people write it down. And that really blesses me personally. I love hearing the stories of people's lives and how God has done something in their life. But you know what I really get inspired about? When people put in praise reports, how God has worked through them. And there's times in life where God does something in you and we're just so thankful for what God did for us and in us, and that's a beautiful thing. But even more so for me is when God begins to work through us. That you were able to encourage somebody and you knew it was God bringing that level of encouragement. Maybe somebody needed a healing and you were the vehicle to lay hands on them or to pray for them and they got healed. Or maybe someone was suffering financially and you were the vehicle that God used to buy them the groceries. And God wanted to work through your life to demonstrate His love. I think more and more that should be our prayer. That God doesn't just do something in us. He does something through us. And so we're going to get into the Word of God today. And we're going to get into Psalm chapter 37. And we're going to look at the Amplified Version. This is the long version of the Bible. Psalm 37 verses 1 to 8. It says, "Do not worry." That's a good start right there. "Do not worry because of evildoers, nor be envious towards wrongdoers. For they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. Trust, rely on, and have confidence in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feast securely on His faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires and petitions of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will also do it. He will make your righteousness, your pursuit of right standing with God, like the light, and your judgment like the shining of the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord, wait patiently for Him, and entrust yourself in Him. Do not fret, whine, agonize because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Cease from anger and abandon wrath. Do not fret, it only leads to evil." God's word, through my own experience and through seeing it in many, many people's lives, it works. And to start to work out where God wants to take you to, you've got to start understanding how God operates. And if I said to someone today, "Do you believe God is faithful?" I'm sure we're in a room that people would go, "God is faithful." But how do you know He's faithful? How do you know He's all powerful? How do you know He's going to do what He said He was going to do? So we would say, well, it comes out of the Bible. It comes out of experience. It comes out of, you know, an evidence of your own life. And I can testify my own life, you know, as an Aussie. If you haven't worked out yet, I'm not from Scotland. I'm from Australia, Sydney, Australia, born and bred, and I grew up as a sports person, professional tennis player. Anyone like tennis? Just a few? I love tennis. Tennis is a great game. And I was one of these up-and-coming young pro tennis players, and at the age of 18, I met Jesus, and He transformed my life. And I continued to grow and to go in the tennis arena until God had other ideas. I mean, every now and again, God interrupts where you think you're meant to be going in life. And I had one of those moments, and at the age of 20, I just played the Australian Open, and 2 weeks later, I'd laid down my tennis. And so that was not a quick decision, by the way. That was weighed up over 12 months of hours and hours of prayer. And eventually, I felt it was to lay down. In that time, in that 2 week period, and then arrived at Bible college, I was having a 3 day orientation day just to get to know what the college was going to be all about. And I had a dream. I'm not big on dreams. I think most times when you have a dream, it's the pizza you had the night before or something of that nature. But this particular dream was a bit of a standout dream for me. And I dreamt I was in what I thought was a massive ice rink. And I walked into the middle of this ice rink and thousands of people were in the crowd. And excuse my ignorance, but at this point of the journey, I'd never heard the word Glasgow before. They began to chant the name, "Glasgow, Glasgow, Glasgow." And I woke up thinking, what a strange dream. I spoke to the principal of the Bible college and I said they were chanting this funny name called Glasgow. And he says to me, he was actually from the United Kingdom, he said, "That's a place in Scotland." And this is in 1992, and in my heart, I didn't say it to him, but in my heart, I said, oh, dear God, please do not send me there. And I want to stay in Australia. I'm happy in Australia. That was in 1992. Who was alive in 1992? Anyway, to cut a long story short, I ended up on staff in Sydney, and one of the songs you were actually singing this morning called Mighty to Save came out of our church back in Sydney, and along with hundreds and if not thousands of other songs that came out of it called Hillsong. And so I was there for 16 years, and in 2004, in the middle of a Sunday morning service, I hear that still small voice of the Holy Spirit say, would you do a church in Glasgow? Of which I said, yes, Lord, but I don't want to. I mean, you've got to be honest with God sometimes. I said, I don't want to, but I will. And it became very obvious that Glasgow was the calling. I'm not one to look for signs, but every now and again a nice sign is good. And I had a number of those along the way. Some of them were, you know, when you buy a new car and you see your car on the road everywhere. I mean, you know what I'm talking about? Some of it was that. Because I'm looking for Glasgow, I saw a bit of Glasgow when I was looking. But others of it were just outright phenomenal, gracious things that God was showing us. And so I'm telling you this story to help you understand that God's word is alive. And then you need more than just God said. People say you don't need any more than God said. No, you do. The Bible's very clear. There's a few things you need with God. You need a God said. You need a God confirmation through his word. And then you need a God confirmation that the leaders are all good with it. It's all part of the journey and the counsel of God's word. So I first heard the God said. And then I spoke to my leaders. They all went, this is God. And then I had one of those moments in life that I said, God, I'm a man of your word. I want to hear something in the word of God. And so I didn't know how God was going to show me Glasgow in the Bible. I did know enough of the Bible to know that word is not in the Bible, is not in there. And so I'm talking to God going, how in the world are you going to speak to me about Glasgow through your word? So I was sitting in my car, I still remember it. I'm sitting in my car and I'm saying to the Lord, I don't know how you're going to talk to me, but I'm going to do something that I tell people not to do. I mean, every now and again you pass, you've got to break your own rules. And I said, Lord, I'm pretty desperate here. I'm going to just close my eyes, open my Bible and put my finger on a verse. You know, that's a dangerous way to live your life. And so I did that. I opened my Bible, I closed my eyes and put the finger, and I landed in the book of Daniel. And remember, the whole thing started with a dream. And I put my finger on this verse. The top of the verse really didn't speak to me at all, and I start rebuking myself, going, this is stupid. I tell people not to do this, and here I am, I'm now doing this. And I just felt in myself, finish the verse. This is what it said. The dream is true and its interpretation is certain. And I just went, I started crying and laughing all at the same time. Now, I'm not encouraging you to do that for a way of life. God was very gracious to me, but I'd already had the two others in confirmation. Felt God had said, leadership had said, and now I needed something in the word. And from there, I was sent to Glasgow. I want to encourage you in the journey of God. Never went, always be sent. Always be sent, never be went. If you went, you're going to get bent. If you're sent, you'll have a ment.
Oh, that's good.
If you have a sent, you'll have a ment. It's meant to be. If you have a went, guaranteed you'll get bent. Why? Because God does not break his own word. One of the reasons you can trust God, and we're going to go through the psalm in a few moments. One of the reasons you can trust God is because God's word is accurate and is very powerful. It's historically accurate. We know that. It's prophetically accurate. We know that. And it's authoritative in accuracy. We know that. We know that the Bible prophesied in the Old Testament that Jesus would come. We know that for a fact. That's truth. Hundreds of Bible prophecies declared that Jesus would become as the Messiah, the suffering one who would die for the sins of the world. We know that's the truth. That happened 2,000 years ago. Fact. Even if someone's not a Christian, you cannot deny Jesus existed. He was written not just in Bible history, but he was also written through other historians who wrote about him. So that's a fact. He existed. The question is he the Son of God? Did he rise from the dead? Now, the Bible says he is, and I experientially and know that to be true, and all of us here today, I would imagine, would agree that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. So we know factually the Bible is accurate. It's not just a book. It's not just something you read. It's not just like a nice set of things to think about. It is alive and it's living and it's active. We know that to be true. And we know that the Bible is also talked about sort of the things I guess we're seeing in the world today. Many things that it said would happen are beginning to happen. So we know there's accuracy in the Bible. So when we begin to go through this passage of Scripture today, you can guarantee if you allow this Bible, this Word to be imparted into your heart, you're going to have a transformation of your life. How many want to be transformed? How many are tired of being the same way? How many want to be different in time to come? That's God's Word. And I can look in my own life and go, man, how my life has changed. How I was fearful of some things and no longer fearful of those things. How I was insecure in some things and no longer insecure in those things. I'm still a work in progress. I have not arrived. But I can look back over the years where I would be intimidated, and now I've got courage to do things. And people often go, man, you moved from Australia all the way over to Glasgow. How did you do that? And I'll have to go, well, it was a journey. It was lots of the little things and stepping out on what God had said on the little things and doing them regularly enough for then God to say, hey, would you do the bigger things? One of the things I've learned in the journey of life, God only reveals to the hungry. He only reveals to the hungry. God's got all this mystery to unveil, and that's why he speaks in parables. He speaks in parables because only the hungry find out what these parables are. Really mean. That's why he says things like this, seek and you will find. So you can be a Christian and not hungry and be missing about a whole lot of great things in your life. But if you get hungry, God begins to reveal the power of his word. And so when the word starts to get in your life, it works for you. You know, one of the languages of the Bible is that God's word is like a hammer. And, you know, for those who work with tools and all that, I don't do that very often, but when I get to hit a hammer and a nail, I love working with that stuff because you see the power of the application of the hammer hitting a nail being driven into the piece of wood. And it's the hammer that does it. Of course, it's my coordination of the hammer. If I don't have any coordination, I'm going to miss it. It might hit the thumb or whatever it might be. So I've got to have to use the hammer accurately. But it is the hammer that does the work. I can't hit a nail in with my hand. And God's word is like that for your life. God's word will work on your behalf. You've just got to learn how to get skilled with it. You've got to learn how to work with it so it begins to operate in your life. So it can say things like, don't worry, here are all the tools that you can use to stop worry and knock it out of your life. So you then got to get the skill set on how you do these things. Does that make sense? Yeah? One of the things I've learned in life, that God doesn't work with babies. I can't see anywhere in the Bible where God uses a baby. I don't see anywhere in the New Testament where God uses people that are immature. And that's why there's a constant reference to the Bible to grow into maturity. To become mature. Don't let things keep knocking you around. Don't get tossed around by every wind of doctrine that comes your way. Don't get maneuvered here and there and left and right and all these different directions of life. Learn to be solid in every season of life. And that's where God wants to bring you maturity. So when you begin to use God's word and it begins to work on your behalf, then you're going to start seeing the fruit of it. And God will begin to test you along this amazing journey. And so people say to me, how did you end up having the courage to take a step of leaving your nation, leaving your family, leaving what you know, and going to a place you've never been to before with no friends, no nothing? How do you start this stuff? And I guess, God, well, it's a journey too. And it started off with things like this. I'd be in a prayer meeting. In fact, at the orientation camp, I talked about the dream that I had. And one of the meetings, I'm not encouraging this in church, by the way, but it just happened to be my part of my story. I was in church, and I hear the still small voice of the Holy Spirit say, "Get up on the chair and praise me." Now, I'm introverted. You might think, no, you're extroverted. No, I'm not. I am absolutely introverted. Public speaking was my number one fear. And I felt the Holy Ghost say, "Get up on the chair and praise me." I went, "No chance. No chance. I'm not doing it." So the meeting finished. And I kind of walked home or back to the dorm room, disappointed with myself. Now I look back, I go, God was starting a journey. That's all he was doing. He wasn't trying to make me feel disappointed. He was wanting to show where I was and where he wants to get me to. I've learned in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, God says this: "He works in us to get his will." So he's working in you right now so that you would get his will. And when you receive his will, it then says he gives you the power to fulfill it. But he takes a journey. So he knew it was going to be a while before I said yes to Glasgow. So he started in 1992 with a "stand on your chair and praise me." I went, "I'm not doing it." So time had gone past. It was about 6 months in the Bible college. We're in a prayer meeting. And in the prayer meeting, now I'm starting to get more confidence. I'm knowing the Word of God more, and all this great input's happening to me. We're in a prayer meeting, and I hear, "Get on the table and pray." I said, "Lord, what's with the stairs? What's with the tables and the chairs?" So anyway, I'm hesitating. I'm not saying no now. I'm just hesitating. Hesitating, and I'm watching. You ever been in a prayer meeting and God's saying, "Pray this," and you're holding off, and then that person over there prays the very thing you're about to pray? How annoying is that when you experience that? Dang, I missed that opportunity. Well, I'm waiting and I'm waiting. Next thing, one of the other students jumps on the table. And I feel God's going, "Get up." And I'm hesitating. Next thing, the principal of the Bible college is on the table. And I'm feeling God's going, "Get up." And I'm going, "They're going to think that I'm copying them." So the Bible college director stopped the meeting. He says, "God's telling some of you to do something and you're not doing it." So anyway, I went, right. I got up on the table, but I knew it was too late. I obeyed, but I was late in the obedience. Yeah, that's it. And so I felt disappointed again. It was like the first one, but now I'm moving. I'm going from no to late. God's operating Philippians 2 on me. God is working in me. He's working in me so that I would get his will for him there, for them to empower me. So a few years pass by. I'm on staff in Sydney, Australia. It's a big church. It's a big church. I'm on the front row. I'm called a pastor at this part of the journey. In the middle of worship, I hear that voice: "Stand on the chair and worship me." I said, "God, this is the third time you have asked me to do something like this." I said, all right, I'm going to do it this time." As I'm about to do it, I hear this: "Turn around and face everybody." So I'm like this. "All right, I'm going to do it, Lord. I'm going to do it, Lord." Then turn around and face everybody. And now I'm kind of going, "Are you kidding me?" But now I'm going, "Lord, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it." I thought, "I'm just going to shut my eyes and get up there and lift my hand." So that's what I did. I got up, shut my eyes, and I just went, "Is that enough? Is that enough? Can I get down?" I'm literally doing it. "Can I get down? And I just felt this: if you don't do it by faith, I'm going to get you to do it again. I said, "All right, I'm good. I'm here. So I got down and something broke. Something broke. What was happening? God was working in me. So I would get his will. And then when I could surrender to his will, then he would empower me for the future of that will. And so now, a few years pass by. Sunday morning service, I hear what I said earlier. Would you do a church in Glasgow? Okay, Lord, I'll do it, but I don't want to. I don't want to. But, yeah, not my will, but yours be done. So now I'm moving closer and closer. I'm still not there. I'm confused at verse 4 of Psalm 37, which I taught many times in church. God will give you the desires of your heart. I read it earlier. I said, God, this is not a desire. I really don't want to go. But nonetheless, I'm thinking, okay, maybe I've just got the whole patch where Jesus says, Father, if this can be taken away from me, please do. But nonetheless, not my will, but yours be done. So I went, okay, Lord, if that's my patch, if Jesus can do it, I can do it. So now I'm moving closer. I'm moving closer to getting his will. I've said yes, but I'm not there yet. I'm going to do it, but I'm doing it out of fear and trembling. Because I have never been to Scotland. I've never been to Glasgow. I don't know the people. I don't have anybody to take with us. So I'm in the land of freak out. And so now I'm talking to some people. Now I'm going to have to overcome some giants. I had some real giants in me. And they were big. One of them was taking my kids out of Australia. Well, I don't want to take them out of Oz. I want them to grow up in this environment. So I sat with someone who'd done the opposite, the principal of the Bible College. He went from the UK to Sydney with kids. And I said to him, I'm freaking out. I don't want to take my kids out of Australia. And this is what he said to me. He said, if God graces you, he will grace your kids. Boom, killed that giant. Faith arose. The word of the Lord came. If God graces me, he'll grace my kids. He'll grace my family. If you put the kingdom of God first, he will add everything to you. If you trust in that word, he will bring everything else to pass in your life. The second one was the cold. I know it's ridiculous. The cold. Now I think the ice rink represents the cold because Scotland's a cold place. And so I'm now sitting across another friend of mine and I say to him, I don't understand. I don't understand. Why would Jesus be asking me to go to a place that's cold? I hate the cold. He smiles at me lovingly. He says, well, what are you going to do, Jace? Stand before the Lord one day and say, sorry, Lord, I didn't go. It was too cold. I thought, he's like, he stabbed that one in me. Ah, it wasn't me stabbing, it was him stabbing. And we had a big old laugh. Okay, that one's dead. But I'm still wrestling. I'm still wrestling. This is not a desire. So what do you do when it's not a desire, but you know it's God? Because people often say it has to be a desire. It has to start with a desire. Well, It can start with a desire, but what if it's not? What if God's asking you to do something and it's not a desire? What about peace? When people say, you've got to be led by peace, I go, no, the Bible doesn't say that. The wisdom of God, the Bible says in James, is first pure, then peaceable. You don't have to start with peace, but peace is the final umpire. You don't have to start with peace, but you certainly got to finish with peace. If you have no peace after a decision, you've probably made the wrong decision. But it doesn't start with peace, it starts with purity. The wisdom of God is first, it says, pure. then peace comes after it. People are so often led by peace, and it's not actually peace, it's called relief. I'm going to go to Australia and everything's going to change for 6 months, maybe 12 months. And then you are going to turn up. And all the problems you had in Scotland are going to happen to you in Australia. Your mongrelness is going to appear in Australia. Your unfaithfulness is going to appear in Australia. Everything about you is going to appear wherever you are. It's just relief right now. I'm feeling so good. I've got no responsibility. No, it's just relief. And they confuse relief with peace. Don't want to walk into that land. And so now I'm in the land of going, Lord, I know it's you. You're talking to me. I've done the finger on the Bible. Everything's kind of lining up. You've given me a whole truckload of signs. You've been very gracious to me. In fact, I wrote down all the signs, and I'm not a sign-looking pastor at all, but it was 14 of them. This became obvious. It was probably about 30 when I saw my car on the road type analogy, but it was definitely 14 clear ones. And I felt God say, that's all you're getting now. Now make a decision. I had made a decision, but I was freaking out. And then my senior pastor rang me. He says, what are you doing? I said, give me one more week, and I'll let you know. Now I knew I was doing it. I knew I was doing it, but I hadn't said it to anybody. And finally, I said to Brian, I'll talk to you Sunday night. And he was running out the building. I chased him down. He goes, what are you doing? I said, I'm doing it. And God is my witness. God is my witness. The moment I said, I'm doing it, a supernatural desire got put in me. And I learned a new lesson on this verse. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth and you shall be saved. And I realized that's not just a principle for salvation, it's a principle for life. The moment I agree with God's word with my mouth, it sealed the deal. And now I'm like, yes, let's go and do this thing. Let's go to a nation I've never been to. And then I had tremendous desire, and that desire is continuing. Well, what am I trying to say today? God is faithful in your journey. Maybe you can't connect the dots right now. Maybe you are going, Lord, I don't get what's going on. I don't really understand. I haven't really gotten too much into the psalm. I've kind of run out of time, but I'm going with what I'm feeling to share with you. I want to encourage you, God's word will fulfill. All we've got to do is obey. The key is obedience. So a lot of Christians do this. The Great Commission says this, go into all the world and preach the gospel, full stop. It's not full stop. It's not full stop. It's not go into all the world and preach the gospel. End of. It's go into all the world and preach the gospel, teaching them to obey. And the biggest issue we have in the church globally right now is a whole lot of disobedient Christians disobeying God's word. And they're only doing things partially and not fully. And wondering why they are bent, because they weren't sent. And they're wondering why things aren't working for them is because they are bent and not sent. I want to encourage you today in your journey. Go back to God's word. Go back to the things He spoke to you about. Don't look for a new thing until you've obeyed the last thing. If God began to challenge you to do something and you're still hesitating and you're still waiting, and maybe a decade has passed, maybe a few months has passed, maybe even a few days or a few hours have passed. Here's the encouragement. 1992, God says in a dream, you're going to do a church in Glasgow. But He kept it in a parable. In a parable. I didn't understand what that thing was. Because people used to say to me, are you going to do a church one day? Because they obviously saw something on me. I go, no, I'm in Sydney for life. No desire to be a senior pastor. I'm here to serve my local church. But God spoke to me in a parable, in a dream. that I didn't understand what it was. And in that dream, people used to say, you're going to do a church? I go, no, but I'm going to do a crusade in Glasgow. And I said, what does that mean? Well, you go in and you go out. You know, you don't stay. But God knew I wouldn't say yes in 1992. But he did know I would say yes in 2004. So he worked in me for all those years, knowing I wasn't ready to say yes, but he looked ahead and began the journey. He's doing that with you. You might have been, oh Lord, I'm freaking out on some things, and he's working in you. He's working in you. He wants to knock that insecurity, that fear, that frustration, that anger, that worry out of your life. And you go, oh, I don't know how I'm going to do this thing. And God's working in you. God is so patient. You know, you might go, I'm out of the will of God. No, no, he's just starting early on you. He's not forgotten you. He's not written you off. He's not going, you're done. He's going, I'm working in you. That's the kindness of the Lord. He knows he's going to have to hit you a few times. He knows he's going to have to work on you a few times until you go, I'm now surrendering to be obedient to everything that you're asking me to do. So wherever you are on the journey today, be encouraged. God is working in you. He's working in you so that you would get his will. And once you get his will, he then gives you the power to do it. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
This is what I know. And I'll leave this thought with you today. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not and will not prevail against it. You could put your name in that verse. Jesus said, I will build Jason. I will build Cole. I will build Sean. Because we are the church. You are the church. Who is Jesus? Jesus is called the Word of God. That's who he's called. He's also called the Savior. But he's primarily called the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. He is the Word of God. Not the Word of anybody else, the Word, the Logos of God. And what builds your life is the Word. The Word is like the hammer, the tool that works in you. It's his idea, not your idea. You are his idea, not your own idea. And he is building you today. And he's working in you today. All you've got to work on is going, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I don't get it, Lord. And he's talking to you in parables. He's talking to you like in mysteries. You know, I don't get it. Because he wants you to seek him. He wants you to get hungry so that he can reveal what that stirring is on the inside of you. And there's going to come a day. I speak this over many of you today. There's going to come a day where you're not going to have to learn through hindsight. You're going to start to learn by insight. Some of us are learning in hindsight. The lessons we did not obey. So in hindsight, we should have done that. But God is going to bring you into a place where you learn by insight. Before you make the decision, you have insight to what God is doing so that you know the steps you need to take. I hope this has encouraged some of you today. That God's Word is the builder of your life. You're not the builder of your life. God's Word is. Let it have its way and it will work for you. It's a beautiful tool. Not that I like to call it a tool because he's a living person. He's called Jesus. But it's his Word that operates on our behalf. He is the breakthrough. Come on. He is the healer. He is the provider. The Word. And so as you grow in the Word, you grow in confidence. You grow in courage. You grow in love. That's the Word. Courage sits in us, but it needs to be activated. Love sits in us, but it needs to be activated. It is the Word that produces. And that's why the Bible is very clear that what Paul said, he said, I am fully confident that what God has started, not what you've started, what God has started, He will complete. Why is Paul so confident? Because he knows the power of the Word. Maybe today, it's time for you to surrender to the Word. So when you've read recently, forgive, and you haven't, obey the Word. Maybe today God says give and you didn't. Now obey the Word. Maybe God said love your enemies. And you went, no way. But today you're going, by your grace, Lord, let the Word help me. Some of you are carrying weight today. And God's Word wants to release you of that weight. It's His Word that's going to change your life. Amen. Can I pray for you? Believe in God to help you today. Father, I thank you for your Word is alive. It is living. It is powerful. It is sharper than a two-edged sword. And Lord, I pray today as people of God, open to saying, Lord, we want your will to be done. We want your purpose to be done in and through our lives. And Lord, we know we can't do it on our own strength or on our own ability, but by the power of the Spirit of God and by the Word of God. So Lord, we thank you that you've given us everything we need, but we need the wisdom and the insight on how to turn the keys of your Word into our lives. So Lord, we thank you for talking to us in mystery. We thank you for talking to us in parables so that we would get hungry for you to reveal what these things mean. And I pray today, let illumination and revelation come in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 God bless you, church.